Today on Barca Talk. The men of FC Barcelona are on international duty, but the Femení and B teams remain active and with great results in the last week. There are positive signs around Samuel Umtiti while Lionel Messi was injured playing for Argentina. Hey everybody, this is Barca Talk, I'm Brian Henderson. In the men's international break, Barcelona football continues for the Barca Femení and Barca B. Here are the news and scores. Leo Messi returned to the Argentina national side in a friendly against Venezuela at the Wanda in Madrid last Friday. Argentina lost to Venezuela 3-1, and Messi played all 90 minutes, but he has now returned to Barcelona with an injury and will not play in Argentina's next match on Tuesday against Morocco. FC Barcelona have confirmed the injury is in one of Messi's pelvic bones, but have not yet reported the severity of the injury. Samuel Umtiti played the full 90 minutes in France's first Euro 2020 qualifying match against Moldova. The World Cup holders took 3 points from the match in a 4-1 win. Umtiti has had limited minutes for Barcelona this season with persistent knee troubles, but this shows that he does have 90 minutes worth of football in him, and while rumors are swirling about a potential Barcelona exit for the Frenchman, those of us who know what a great asset he is would hope that he returns to full-time action and stays on at Barcelona. Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba featured for the full 90 in Spain's first Euro 2020 qualifier versus Norway, which Spain won 2-1 on goals from Rodrigo and Sergio Ramos on a penalty kick. Sergio Roberto spent this game on the bench. Perhaps he'll see some minutes on Tuesday in Spain's second match day of the Euro qualifiers against Malta. And for the Barca fans, it wouldn't be bad if Busquets and Alba got a little rest. FC Barcelona B got a win over Ebro on the road in the Segunda B division thanks to a goal from Monchu in the closing minutes of the first half. The B team remain 3 spots away from a promotion playoff, and the chances of getting there are slim as the season gets close to ending. Next week, our Barca B correspondent Max Bleuer will give a full report. And the Barcelona Femení first team remains in club action. After defeating Atletico Madrid 2-0 last week, the women went on to defeat LSK Kvina in the first leg of the Women's Champions League quarterfinal at home 3-0. Tony Duggan scored 2 goals and Mariona put away a penalty, all in the first half. A 3-goal lead and keeping the sheet clean puts them in a good position to move on to the semifinals after the second quarterfinal leg in Norway on Wednesday. At the weekend, in Liga Iberdrola, they enjoyed another win, this time over Valencia 3-0, with goals from Tony Duggan, Marta Torrejón, and Lika Martins. We cover the women's team on a regular basis with the help of our Barca Femení correspondent, Michelle Taylor. You can hear her segments every other week and follow at Barca Women on Twitter for ongoing news and updates from her. Now we're taking a bit of a break this week from Barca Talk as usual and replaying the one and only special episode that we have in the vault right now to the Camp Nou. So we want to do more of these special episodes, but to make the kinds of things we're planning takes resources that we don't really have at the moment. And while we're not there yet, we are getting closer all the time with the help of our supporters on Patreon. For just a few dollars each month, you'll be supporting news, commentary, and community surrounding all things football at FC Barcelona, and you'll be helping us get to the point where we can produce more special episodes like this one you're about to hear, or even better than this one. You'll get access to bonus content and commercial-free episodes of the regular podcast, and you'll keep the free podcast going for those who can't afford to support it. You'll also get some deep discount coupons in the Barca Talk store, which we have just enhanced with new products. We have notebooks and t-shirts now with the Primo Football hashtag and Gabriel's catchphrase, "We have Messi, you don't." And of course, our classic Barca Talk mug is still on there. If you don't want to join Patreon and pay monthly, check out the store and get yourself some merch for a one-time show of support. But Patreon supporters can get up to 50% off a purchase in the store as a show of gratitude. We have links to Patreon and the Barca Talk store in the show notes, but if any of those aren't working, go to barcatalk.net. Now, we're getting everything squared away for our trip to Barcelona for the Atletico match, and it will be only my second time at the Camp Nou, but this special episode you're about to hear is about the first time at the Camp Nou. Enjoy. My first time at the Camp Nou was in early January 2013 against Espanyol. I was expecting a lot of excitement around the stadium since it was the Barcelona derby, but the crowd was overall pretty subdued. And aside from remembering Messi scoring on a penalty, I don't remember any other goals, actually. I had to look it up. It was a 4-0 win, and even Xabi scored, my favorite player, even then. But I don't remember it. I don't remember Pedro's 2 goals. What I do remember is a moment when Jordi Alba was dribbling downfield, and he lost his defender with some trick on the ball, and I can't even recall exactly what he did. because what I really, truly remember is how the crowd in the stadium reacted. Everybody had been quiet, and then when Jordy pulled this move, they all went, oh, and they went right back to watching the game. Nobody scored on that play, but I think I remember that moment so well because that was the moment when I really felt like I was among my people. They don't just want their team to win. They want to win with style and class, and they show their appreciation for these things. This is Barca Talk. I'm Brian Henderson. Today, we bring you two stories of entering the Camp Nou for the first time. For one, it's cultural tourism. For the other, it's a pilgrimage. And our first story comes from Dana. She's American, from Jacksonville, Florida. And this wasn't just her first time watching Barca at the Camp Nou, but her first football match ever.
I was teaching English in a medium-sized city in between Barcelona and Madrid, and I had a really great group of students, but they had all failed English the year before, and they were really struggling to pass, and they kept giving me shit, for lack of a better term, because I wasn't a fan of Real Madrid or Barcelona. So I made them a deal. Those that passed, I think, their midterm exam got to vote, and whichever side had more votes, I would become a supporter of that team. And the FC Barcelona kids did better on their exam, so I became an FC Barcelona fan and have been following them ever since. And quite frankly, I think they have a wonderful team. They're very entertaining, and I think my students made a good choice.
She may not be an avid football fan, and her willingness to go one way or the other between Barca and Real Madrid on the chance of her students' performance on a test might seem a little crazy for some fans. But Dana was discovering this like anyone in a new country would, absorbing the culture and then getting caught up in it.
We would go to the bars a lot. Spain has a great bar culture with cañas and tapas. A caña is a little like half beer. And we would go, and they're great two-hour matches, go watch some kind of early evening-ish for Spain at least, then go out to dinner or go for a club night out. So they were always really fun. I tended to go with either friends of mine. It tended to be, I was the odd girl out at these things normally. Would go with some local friends I had there. There were a lot of other European guys, but we would often go and watch the games together in bars and always had a great time. And you can hear people cheering in Spain if it's a big game across the whole street, across the bar. You know, you can hear people from their homes screaming. It's awesome. I was there in Madrid when Real Madrid won against Atletico in, goodness, when was that? 2016 Champions League. And the entire city just shut down and everyone went to a fountain, and it was just amazing. I don't think you can get into Spanish culture without getting into football while living in Spain. I think it's really impossible. I went with three other guy friends, two of whom were American and one was native Spanish. The game was, I think, the primary purpose, but the secondary was just to enjoy Barcelona because it's impossible to go to Barcelona and not have a fabulous time. So we rolled into Barcelona, I think, night one. Same thing, went out to the bars, enjoyed the nightlife a little bit. Next day, got up, and we're trying to figure out how to go to the game. You know, most of us were American. We weren't sure what to do. We were talking with scalpers, and finally the Spanish gentleman took over, got us in line for the tickets, and ended up getting us stellar tickets. I think we were 10 rows above the pitch. Absolutely epic. We were right behind all the people. If you ever watch the Barcelona games, you'll see the people with the big fans and they're screaming and chanting. And they were literally right in front of us. I think two of the guys lost their voice by the time the game was done. Crazy crowded when we got there trying to buy tickets. And I think it's like going to any other sporting event. You see a lot of dads with their kids and getting snacks. And we were young 20 somethings all there to enjoy a Spanish experience. You know, it was great. I think seeing the colors of the stadium and just how it's open and it's right in the middle of Barcelona, all the people around us, they were helping us with the chants, and it was an absolutely epic experience. Like, couldn't have planned a better trip and a better seating arrangement than where we ended up in that stadium. I mean, it was absolutely awesome.
The game she found herself at against Rayo Vallecano, who were at 19th in the table at the time, was a goal bonanza. Messi scored two, Adriano, Alexis Sanchez, Pedro, and Neymar, they each scored one. Rayo didn't score at all. It was 6-0 in the end. And for Dana, the whole time in the stadium showed her something new about football culture in Barcelona.
I didn't know anything about Rayo Vallecano. the friends I went with picked it out just because we knew it would be a surefire victory and a great experience at Camp Nuo, as it was most of our first times going. What surprised me the most was the fervor of the crowd. I definitely grew up in the Deep South. I'm used to crazy fans, more American-style football games. But I mean, the guy in front of us literally went hoarse by the end of the game. I had never seen such a dedicated fan base in my life before, constantly cheering on the team. I mean, it was a 6-0 win, and these guys acted like each goal was, you know, going to save their mother dying of cancer. I mean, it just, the intensity alone was a total experience. My favorite goal was definitely Messi's second goal. I'd never seen something like that. Just such a light touch. I didn't think it had even gone in. And then for them to just score a goal, and the entire stadium erupted, and it was just a great Messi goal. Nothing beats a Messi goal.
And for a newcomer, someone who isn't as invested in it as those fans sitting in front of her, what did she take away from all this? And what were the highlights for her?
La Liga is arguably one of the best football leagues there is. Now that I live in Ireland, I deal more with the Premier League watching those games, and they're definitely not as exciting as the La Liga games. But that's just my opinion. I got to see Neymar, quite frankly, before he got as dramatic as he's been recently, and to see Messi, arguably the best players in the world, and to see them both play and both score in the prime of their careers was an absolutely amazing experience. Even leaving the stadium, everyone was just cheering the whole way out. The group of friends I went with, we ended up stopping at a few bars, getting a few cocktails, and walking back to where we were staying. And just the energy throughout all of Barcelona post that win was just incredible, and you could feel the energy well into the next morning. I've been to more football games since and have always had a wonderful experience, but quite frankly, none will top that first experience. And I would absolutely love to go back. If you do get the opportunity, be prepared for the pipas or sunflower seeds that will be everywhere flying around the stadium. I remember thinking it was very different than the typical American hamburgers and hot dogs you'll normally find in our stadiums.
Now, I wanted to ask my co-host and podcasting partner, Gabriel, about this, and he had special first-hand knowledge of Dana's experience. Now, Gabriel, you were at that same match with Dana, and that was also your first time at the Camp Nou, right?
Yeah, that was my first time, and I can tell you I was super excited to go to this match. I wanted to go to the match 5 hours before the match. That's how excited I was. I just wanted to make sure that I completely enjoyed the experience. I wanted to get there early, right when the gates opened. I wanted to see the warm up, and I just wanted to be comfortable because I hate going to matches rushed. It doesn't matter what type of sporting event. And so for this one, since it was my first time navigating through the buying the tickets and all the jazz that comes along with it, I just wanted to make sure that I got there on time with no rush. And I just really wanted to soak up the experience and enjoy it.
Right. So you soaked it all up. And now thinking back, what is the strongest memory of that whole day for you?
It's funny because, you know, the match was amazing. You know, I got to see Messi score. And for me, seeing him score a cuchara or a chip shot like that, for me was, I couldn't even ask for anything more. I mean, we had everyone score. You know, we had Sanchez score. We had Pedro score. We had Neymar score. Neymar just got signed essentially and he scored. And so all those things. But for me, it had to be the warm up. When I saw Messi and Dani Alves warming up, I've never been in such awe of professional athletes, especially since I've played football my whole life. And I, you know, other sports, pro basketball, pro football, I can't really put myself in that type of shoes just because of my physical attributes. I'm not as tall, I'm not as big. But with football, you know, I played all my life, and to see Dani Alves and Messi, who are not that much taller than me, the way they passed the ball, their first touch, they were doing 40-yard passes and the ball never touched the ground. I've never seen anything like it. And seeing Messi in person, that's the other thing. Just what he did, everyone's watching him, the movement he does, his warm-up, it just makes it look so simple. And I envy that because for me, as a football player, I had to really work really hard. I had talent, but to do things, I really had to work hard. And to see these professionals, especially Messi and Alves, just warming up, just like they're at the beach, just having a great time. And everyone was awed. They just kept going backwards. You know, they started at 10 yards, then they went to maybe 15, then 20, and then all the way to like 40-yard bombs. And they just never, the ball never touched. The ball never touched the sod.
Yeah, see, and, you know, memory is a funny thing, right? Because just like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the thing I remember, I mean, I was at a 4-0 game, and I remember one of them because it was Messi taking a penalty. I don't remember any of the other goals, but I do remember just that one move that Jordi Alba made during the game. And I didn't get there early enough to see the warm-up, but I can appreciate how it wasn't a goal or even necessarily something from the game or a notable moment that would make the stat sheet that stood out. And that's what's so great about being there live and going to the game and going to the stadium. And when I was a kid growing up, my grandpa would always take us to Dodgers games early enough to watch batting practice sometimes. He just loved that sort of thing. Now, also, when you're there behind the goal, as you were with Dana, she mentioned the pipas, and I don't remember any pipas in my section because I was up in the lateral second tier, very much away from the flag waving and chanting. It was much more subdued. So what's the sunflower seed shower situation like when you're there behind the goal?
Well, let me tell you the first thing. Spanish people don't know how to eat pipas, so that's the first thing. So they use their fingers to take the seeds out, essentially, because – you know, baseball is not a thing here. And it's funny. It's like one of those things that you just take for granted. Playing baseball as a kid, having sunflower seeds, you just get used to what, you know, getting ready for the ball and you're eating sunflower seeds and you just figure out how to get the seed out with your teeth and the tongue, right? So she's completely right. In our section, they were going nuts. Everyone essentially had a bag of pipas and they do one at a time, which I thought was weird because when you use your fingers, right, it's just, you're not going to have that many in your mouth to take out the seed. It's just complicated, right? And so she's completely right. So after the match, when we were taking pictures, the floor was completely littered with pipas.
We'll be back after a short break with a story from Luis.
The environment from both teams was very intense, you know, like was a really, not fighting a lot, but too many fouls and too many intense game against players and all that.
Welcome back to Barca Talk. There's one thing you need to know for this next story from Luis, and that is that a bufanda is a scarf. Now, unlike Dana, Luis has been a Barca fan for a long time.
So many years ago, I don't remember. I think from high school, something like that, is growing up a little bit, and now I'm a big supporter from Barca.
Luis is from Venezuela. He's been living in Madrid for years now. But when he arrived, he didn't waste any time in making the trip to Barcelona in spring of 2007 during his first year in Spain.
My first game in Spain has to be a Barça game. The match of Barça-Getafe in the Camp Nou was in May and was a really, really game with a good atmosphere and good season. And yeah, a really, really good game. It wasn't in springtime, so it was a wonderful weather, very sunny but not hot. And no rain, was a really, really good day for work in the city. It was my first time in Barcelona. I landed, I have to go to the stadium, and I made the tour. So I left the luggage in the hotel and go to the stadium and visited all the tour and the museum and all that. I spent all day in the stadium, first like visiting the tour and then for the match. For me, it was a perfect day.
This makes me think of how when you've anticipated something for such a long time, and now you're finally doing it, you become sort of hyper-aware of everything around you. For Luis, it wasn't just the stadium or the tour, the weather, but even getting from the subway to the stadium is still a memory that stays with him.
In the moment you take the subway, you can see a lot of supporters from the match going to the stadium with you, screaming, jumping, and it was a really, really good environment from that moment. Then when you go out from the subway, the subway station is not close from the stadium, so you have to walk a little bit. But all that walk is with that environment, you know, all the people with the bufandas and I don't know how to say bufandas, but with the bufandas and go to the stadium screaming, jumping, dancing, all that was really good environment. Then to inside the stadium and saw the players calentando, warming up, and like, and was my first time see it in life. So for me, it was, wow, amazing, you know. This time, Deco and Puyol and Eto'o, I always dreamed to see it. And the minutes before the game, the announcer go and cheer you up, the people screaming the names of the players, and we can hear the anthem of the Barça. And for me, it was a dream come true.
Now, this was a big game for Barcelona. It was match day 36, close to the end. They were in second place behind Real Madrid, tied on points, but losing in the head-to-head. And Getafe were in eighth place, not bad. And Luis had a great seat for it.
It was my first time, and I want to see it in a really good seat. So I buy in the almost in the field, but close to one of the to the goal.
And luckily, Barca got off to a good start.
Ronaldinho made a really good goal, and minute two or three, I think, so was a really early goal. I think was a pass from Eto'o. He ran really, really fast from the midfield to the goal, and he saw Ronaldinho alone, and he passed Ronaldinho the ball, and Ronaldinho made one of his beautiful goals like he always do.
Barca won the game 1-0 in the end with just the one goal from Ronaldinho, but the rest of it still gave Luis plenty of entertainment.
The environment from both team was very intense, you know, like was a really not fighting a lot, but too many fouls and too many intense game against players and all that. So that I remember that Ronaldinho was received a lot of fouls and kick in the knees and in the foot and all that. And was a moment that Ronaldinho lost his mind and he kicked in the leg. I think I don't remember well. One of the players of Getafe. And Ronaldinho get a red card, a direct red card.
So the lone goal scorer also got ejected in the 40th minute, forcing Barcelona to play down a man for the entire second half. It was one of only six red cards he received in his entire career. And that's pretty special. Unfortunate, sure, but also it was a lot more rare to see Ronaldinho get a red card than to score a goal. But of course, Luis doesn't focus on that too much.
For me, the best moment was that I can see that a match that Barca won for the first time in life, you know, for me. And also, I can see Ronaldinho making one of the lastest goals in his career in Barca. Amazing day in my life.
I could sympathize with Luis. If you grow up in Barcelona, the Camp Nou is just part of the landscape, part of the city. But for us who come from far away to go there, and especially the first time, it is an amazing experience. From the towering concrete of the exterior to the field and the seats inside. And knowing this is the place that your sports heroes call home when you see them in real life, even if they're small compared to how close you can see them on TV, they still somehow seem larger than you imagined because you're there with them. It's pretty normal these days for people to talk about football as religion. Barcelona is home to one of the most famous religious structures in the world, La Sagrada Familia. But for a culé, the Camp Nou is the cathedral, the destination for all the Barca faithful. Thanks to Dana Humphrey and Luis Calderon for sharing their stories with us. Gabriel Quiroga conducted the interviews, editing and sound design by Brian Henderson. And the music you heard throughout this episode was written by 18th century Catalan composer José Elias. This has been a special episode of Barca Talk. For news, commentary, and match coverage of all the Barca football teams, find us every Monday of the season wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Brian Henderson. Visca Barca.